Hey, you guys. What's up? You already. It's your girl, Cocaine Kisses. I'm in the building. You are in the building, and we's here. So let me just jump right into it, because I'm kind of tired. It's been a very long day. I imagine you probably have one also. If you didn't, must be nice. Must be nice. So yeah, let's just get it done.
Eight, ignition sequence has started. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. We have commit and we have liftoff at 2:13. The Saturn V building up to 7.6 million.
You're jamming with the hottest disc jockey. Disc jockey.
Whatever.
Yeah. When I broke for the street,
who else could it be? Kill. Explode, my thoughts were drunken from courts of beers. Was years back before Nasir would explore career and rap. As a music dude, I mastered this Rubik's Cube. Godzilla, four gargantua eyes glued to the tube. Was a long time ago. John Boy, Ice, Geronimo, Police, jumping out Chrysler's Easy Rider paper. Pops puffing his chest, punching his chest like a gorilla. Outside with psychos, killers. Saw Divine Goon and Chungo, Little Turkey, R.I.P. Tyrone. Remember no curse in front of Miss Mercy, Big Percy, Crazy Paul, the Sled Sisters. My building was 4016, once in the blue. Hallways was clean, I knew all that I seen that meant something. Learned early to fear none. Little Nas was hunting, living carefree, laughing. Got jokes on the daily, y'all acting like some old folks. Y'all don't hear me, yo, I'm in my second childhood.
When I broke for the street,
who else could it be?
N.A.S. Resurrect, through the birth of my seed. Queensbridge, make everything right. Get yours, nigga. When I broke for the street,
who else could it be?
N.A.S. Resurrect, through the birth of my seed. Queensbridge, make everything right.
Yo, get yours, this 31, living in his mom's crib. Ex-convict was paroled there after his long bed. Cornrows in his hair, still slinging, got a crew. They break his mom's furniture, watching Comic View. Got babies by different ladies high, smoking L's in the same spot he stood since 85. Well, when his stash slow, he be crazy. Saved by his mom, hit her on her payday. Junior high school dropout, teachers never cared. They was paid just to show up and leave. No one succeeds, so he moves with his peers. Different blocks, different years, sitting on different benches like his musical chairs. All his peoples moved on in life. He's on the corners at night with young dudes. It's them he wanna be like. It's sad, but it's fun to him, right? He never grew up, 31 and can't give his youth up. He's in his second childhood.
When I broke for the street,
who else could it be?
N.A.S. Resurrect, through the birth of my seed. Queensbridge, make everything right. Get yours, nigga. When I broke for the street,
who else could it be?
N.A.S. Resurrect, through the birth of my seed. Queensbridge, make everything right.
Baby girl, she's always talking, name dropping, hanging late, drinking, smoking, hates her baby daddy, crave shopping, eat popping, ecstasy taking, won't finish her education, best friend, she keeps changing, stuck with limitations, lust in men, many hotels, Fendi Chanel, with nothing in her bank account, frontin' she do well, her kid suffers, he don't get that love he deserve, he the sun, she the earth, single mom, even worse, no job, never stay working, mad purdy, shorty, they call her the brain surgeon, time flying. She the same person, never matures. All her friends married, doing well. She's in the streets, yakety yakking like she was 12. Honey is 27, argues, fights, selfish in her own right for life. Guess she's in her second childhood.
When I broke for the street,
who else could it be?
N.A.S. Resurrect, through the birth of my seed. Queensbridge, make everything right. Get yours, nigga. When I broke for the street,
who else could it be?
N.A.S. Resurrect, through the birth of my seed. Queensbridge, make everything right. Get
yours, get yours, get yours.
Who else could it be?
N.A.S.
So yeah, I'm like super fucking tired, but I'm here, right? I'm here. Give you a quick segment, and tomorrow I will definitely be posting the Loso versus Vixen the Assassin battle. I actually finished writing all three rounds, but yeah, just look for that tomorrow. I got you. For those who are interested in the URL battles that I critique. But yeah, what's up, you guys? How are you? I'm trying to keep some energy because I kid you not, I'm fucking exhausted. So I'm actually cooking right now. Should have been done, but give or take about another 15 minutes, I will be, right? So how are you? It's March 16th. It is Tuesday. And how the fuck are you? First and foremost, I'm glad that you're here with me. You know Cole loves you, so round of applause for you guys. You guys are so fucking dope. Okay, so I don't want to keep you too long, right? Because I know you got shit to do, right? But you could do that and listen to me at the same time. It's called multitasking. Okay, so first and foremost, like, shout out to Nas. If you didn't already know, you just ought to. Nas finally received a Grammy on Sunday at the 63rd Annual Grammy Awards. Can we say long overdue? But, you know, yeah, right? So I'm just glad that he did get a Grammy. He received that Grammy for his album, King's Disease. So he won Best Rap Album. I'll get into that briefly, the whole Grammy thing. I'm gonna just be honest, though. I didn't watch the Grammys. Like, I literally had to recap to see what went on with it because I don't get the same excitement that I used to get when I was much younger. When it comes to award shows, period. And I think a lot of that has to do with the performances. When I grew up as a kid, watching the performances in the award show, you know, our artists were a lot more engaging on the stage to me. They were entertainers more than they were just artists. So even if they were rappers, like, it was just a lot more energy, a lot more choreography involved. And I'm not just talking about like little dance steps and, you know, shit, because yeah, everybody does that, but I just get a different feel from then versus now, so it just doesn't excite me as much. Sorry, you guys, I'm just being truthful. If you love the Grammys and you love award show, please don't stop looking at them on my, you know, account. It's just I'm not really into the whole shit anymore. I have my reasons for such. And I'm not going to get too political about it on here, but, you know, sometimes I just feel like the Grammys and the awards that people receive are not always genuine. A lot of times I feel it's biased, or, you know, the people who won in certain categories, I just feel it's rigged. But, yeah, so moving forward, fuck the Grammys, right? That's what Lil Wayne said, fuck the Grammys. Okay, so I will say this much, though. From the performances that I was able to catch earlier today, I really did enjoy, and like I said, I'll go a little more in depth with it in a little while, but there was a singer, a country singer, that I didn't even know was a damn country singer, but she was fucking phenomenal. Her name is Mickey Guyton. I know you guys probably heard of her. I didn't. Like, where the fuck am I at, right? Under a rock, no, I'm with spirit doing things. But yeah, so this song, Black Like Me, was fucking dope. I really like that a lot. And if I'm not mistaken, no, it wasn't her. I was gonna say she won Best Country Album, but that totally wasn't her. That was actually Miranda Lambert. So yeah, don't want to make that mistake. But yeah, we'll get into that whole Grammy shit in a second. Me moment. So you guys, my classes. So you know my LSAT classes were actually supposed to start tomorrow, but they've been rescheduled to Sunday, which is better for me in all actuality. Need some time to kind of prepare myself for the switch. I'm doing a lot and I got a lot of things on my plate, so I really need to start better organizing my time. Time management is critical. And I know this because this is, you know, I've been in school so many times that I understand how imperative it is to balance your time. So yeah, looking forward to that on Sunday. I read something also, since we're talking about award shows, right? I came across an article. The Root. The Grapevine, The Root. They actually was discussing Anita Baker. You guys know how much I love Auntie Anita. Like, oh my goodness. This woman just doesn't even know how much I adore her. But apparently she had put out a tweet discussing her music, and it wasn't like she was promoting it. In fact, she was actually asking her fans to not stream any of her music. She went on Twitter and she has stated, "Miraculously, I have outlived all of my artist contracts. They no longer own my name and likeness, and by law, 30-year-old masters are to be returned to me. Unfortunately, they're going to make me fight for it. I'm prepared to do that. Please don't advertise by them. Anita Baker, XO." So, yeah, you guys. You know, she's not actually the first artist to speak out about things like this. You know, many artists over the years have been vocal about the complicated nature of the music industry, specifically and particularly when it pertains to ownership. So, you know, Prince had a situation where he was dealing with his relationship with Warner Brothers, and that was like over a course of his career. But what a lot of people don't realize, and I think more so the fans than anyone else, most masters aren't owned by the artists themselves. So most of the money that's generated is largely accumulated from record sales and, you know, various extensions, you know, merch, you know, other endorsements and things of that nature, and ventures and tours. But, you know, even with things like royalties and, you know, streaming, the money that gets made from that doesn't really do much to kind of impact an artist's pockets unless they legally own their masters outright. So what they're basically saying is, like, you can play Anita's songs from sunup to sundown, stream all her music, or not just her, any of your favorite artists, their music, but if they don't own their masters, they're really not seeing the bulk of the money that they should be seeing for their songs. And it's sad that it's arranged like that, but, you know, that's how it is in the industry. So as I'm, looking further into this article, I come across some information that I totally did not know. Auntie Anita said that in 2020, the streaming rate was 3 cents to 5 cents, 1/3 minus 1/2 a penny per stream for artists, minus the fees, the taxes, etc., etc., etc. That's fucking insane. That's just, without saying, insanity. Like, you know, and you got to think about that, especially when we're dealing with COVID and we really don't have, you know, the privilege of going to like concerts and shows, which affects the artists. Affects the artists hugely. You know, if they're not able to generate income or money from the shows and tickets, where the fuck is the money coming in from? Especially if what Anita is saying is accurate when it comes to streaming your songs. Like, no wonder artists are like diligent about, you know, getting a certain amount of streams, because, you know, doggy dog world. But, you know, if you fuck with Anita like I fucks with Anita, she is asking her fans by no means to stream her music. And like I said, she's going to fight to get what she believes she's entitled to and deserves. And I'm not even mad at her for that. It's hard being an artist. And so I wish her the best. I love you, Auntie Anita. I hope to meet you one day. And yeah, blessings. Blessings. Blessings on top of blessings. Okay. So, moving forward from that, I actually, you guys, you know, also that, so you guys know I work for a public defender's office, and this Monday kicked off public defense week at my office, and so they break it up in days. The 15th dealt with criminal practice, and then the 16th was our juvenile rights practice, the 17th was administration, and the 18th would be civil. So in addition to actually celebrating Public Defense Week, which is huge with the public defender's office that I work for, because we've been operating for more than 145 years, we're like the first and longest and largest public defender's office in the United States. So it's truly a big deal. And I'm pretty certain everybody who works for public defense is there because, you know, they have a passion for assisting indigent and low-income families that oftentimes, you know, don't get the justice they rightfully deserve for many of reasons that I don't feel like getting into right now. But keeping it on the topic of Public Defense Week, so my job actually allowed some of the staff to participate in a national, in a webinar, like Zoom conference, considering we're, you know what it is with COVID, so traveling is almost impossible, or just, you know, confined to just Zoom meetings and things like that. But I was chosen amongst other staff that I work with to attend this webinar, this conference, and I'm super excited about it because I'm going to get an opportunity to tell you guys what it was I saw and the information that I learned dealing with the things that we do on a national level as public defenders and staff of public defender's offices. And I'm just so excited to hear the people that's going to be speaking, the new
innovative concepts and techniques and things of that sort that might be mentioned, and alumni. So, you know, you guys, I'll let you know more about that as the information comes. But like I said, I think that begins the 18th. So I'll be there for from the March 18th to March 20th. So I'm looking like I'm going to have a really crazy week, because then the 21st is these LSAT classes. But yeah, I'm ready. I am so ready. So you guys, yeah. Look at me. So before I even go any further, happy birthday, Flava Flav. Yes. Yeah, boy. That's right, Flav. If I'm not mistaken, Flav is 62 today. You guys know him for being a part of the infamous Public Enemy rap group, the pioneers of rap, as well as like just amazing artists that's still kicking ass to this day. I know Flav a little bit more personally only because when I was growing up, I lived, I'm from Walton Avenue. I'm from 165 in Walton. And at the time when I was growing up, Flav lived on a Grand Concourse in 65. So that's literally right up the block in Executive Towers. So it was always awesome like seeing Flav. Flav was like, you know, could you imagine? I'm a kid. I know who Public Enemy is, and he's right up the block, and he's chilling on the block with the big homie. So shout out to Flav, because that nigga's family. And I really do hope that if you hear this, Flav, you had an amazing birthday, and wishing you more life. But yeah, you guys, sadly though, I am getting ready to discuss some very disturbing news. I mean, the world wouldn't be the world, right, if it didn't have dumb shit like that to discuss, and unfortunate, tragic stuff like this to discuss, because I don't want to say dumb to take away from what occurred, but in all actuality, people lost their lives over a very dumb cause. So it's ironic because I was just talking to you guys about the stimulus checks and breaking down the amounts and who's eligible and this, that, and the third, right? And then I come across this article where in Indianapolis, a family of four people were shot and killed, unfortunately, behind this stimulus check. And I'm not even exaggerating here. Like, literally, a young lady, I believe her name is Genetris Moore. So she has two little daughters, and just recently she received her stimulus check, like many people have already. And the father of her daughters wanted some of her money. Now, he was only the father of the youngest baby, and he felt like because he was the baby father, he was entitled to, you know, half of the stimulus check. Which is crazy as hell to just assume you are entitled to something. Like, dude, why didn't you get your own stimulus? Like, I'm not even understanding why he wasn't eligible for his own, but the fact that he made such a he was so adamant about getting half of his baby mother's check. So when she got her money, he approached her and was like very demanding, and she basically told him like, no, you know, you don't deserve any of this. This is I work. You know, I take care of these children by myself. You don't do anything. And according to Janetra's cousin, Wendy Johnson, she said that Malik Halfacre just kept repeating, "I really want half." So I guess just to avoid the constant bickering, she agreed to give him $450 and was like, "Listen, take it or leave it." But that wasn't suitable to him. And so he was like, "I'm going to get that money." And that conversation took place the day before the tragedy. So Saturday evening, Janetris was outside, like, on the curb of her house. Well, not her house, on the curb of the street corner, sorry. When her baby father, Malik, walks up. And according to her, he gave her some weird-ass look and then just walked off. Very sinister type. He then came back. When he came back the second time, four people were dead. The mother of his child was wounded. The baby was missing. And he was on the run. He's an ex-con. Also. So, Janetra's 7-year-old daughter was shot and killed. Her brother, Janetra's brother, 23-year-old Daquan Moore. Her mother, 44-year-old Tameka Brown, and her cousin, 35-year-old Anthony Johnson, were all shot dead by Malik Halfacre because he wanted the stimulus check. Apparently, he came back in the house, you know, outraged, asking, "Where's the money?" And everybody's like, "What money? What are you talking about?" And he's like, "Where's the money? Where's the money?" type of shit. And so Anthony, if I'm not mistaken, Anthony Johnson, yes, he tells Malik, like, you know, no, not Anthony, my apologies. Daquan stood up for his sister, and when Malik started going haywire, demanding his money, he was like, "You can't have this money. You can't, you know, you're not gonna take my sister's money. You cannot have her money." And so, allegedly, he pushed Malik, and Malik pulled out the gun and just started killing everybody. He shot Daquan first. He shot Anthony Johnson. That was the 35-year-old cousin. He turned around. This is just crazy. Shot Janetris' mother. And all they could hear was her saying Malik's name. Like, "Malik!" And then he shot her again. He came back, shot Daquan for the second time. And somehow between that time, the baby got hit. The baby father then took Janetris and their infant daughter to the car, and after strapping the baby into a child safety seat, he re-enters the house to get a milk bottle. He went back in the house, and believe it or not, he shoots Anthony again as he was coming down the steps. just fucking pure, this is just evil. Like, four lives are gone for such a senseless act. And my dude, did you get the stimulus? Like, not to say that if you did get it, it would have been worth it, but you bugging. Like, wait, what? Wow. When he went in the house, Genetris, she just ran for her life. She left the baby in the car and then hid on a neighbor's porch until IMPD officers arrived. Her baby father told her that she made him kill everybody. I guess because she didn't just give him the check. This is some crazy shit. My condolences to the family, friends, co-workers, anyone who knew this family. This is just horrible. Really fucked up, yo. You know, you had a brother of Daquan, Lorenzo Moore, says he walked in the back door to just find his brother and the rest of his family laid out. I couldn't imagine, and I wouldn't want to. Now, Malik, the shooter, in his past, he was accused of shooting a man 5 times on the city's northwest side in early 2017. However, he was released from custody in 2018 after pleading guilty to a lesser charge. This is just so fucked up. Like, seriously, though. According to Genetris's cousin, who was giving us the story based on what she was told, she Wendy is her name. She indicated that her cousin Genetris was very afraid of Malik. It appears that there was some kind of domestic violence going on in the household, where she was fearful for her life, and so that kind of fear will make you stay in a situation that you don't even want to be in. And it's just unfortunate. Like, to be angry that you don't have money is one thing, but to do what he did was just senseless. Thank God, though, several hours later, the baby was recovered unharmed on the city's northeast side. There was a 4-hour long SWAT standoff, and eventually Malik was captured coming from a duplex in handcuffs. He was hiding in an attic for some hours. So again, my heart goes out to the family out in Indianapolis that's dealing with this tragedy. I'm sending you prayers. I just don't even know what to say. What do you say? A child. 7 years old. You know, every life is precious, but you got to be careful, people. And this is why I say you know, people will be unstable. And it don't take much for them to throw it all the fuck away. As more information comes out, I'll update you guys regarding whether or not this family has, like, which I'm going to assume, a GoFund account if anybody wants to assist. Because this is 4 family members that's needing to be buried. They could certainly use some assistance. So when I find out, you guys will find out. I don't know anything as of right now. But this is just fucking terrible. Say a prayer for this family. This is just fucked up. Sorry I had to report such sad news, but, you know, the shit that be going on in the world. So, it's never that serious, you guys. It's a stimulus check that if you've worked, to my understanding, I don't even think you have to work, because I seen an article from my sister. She posted something about homeless people are just as entitled for these checks. So I don't understand why he did that. Like, were you not a citizen? I'm not sure. And even if you're not, that is no justified cause for what the fuck took place. Like, that's just heinous. It's exactly what it is. It was fucking heinous. It's a fucking quadruple murder. Unreal. Unfucking real. But yeah, so I did tell you guys, I was going to give you some of the awards that were won in the Grammys. I'm not about to list and say all of them. You gotta know it's a lot. But I will give you some of the highlights from the Grammys in terms of what awards were won. There was about a little over 20 some odd performances in which Megan Thee Stallion performed Body and Savage, Cardi B and Megan did Up and Wap. Just to name a few, Doja Cat, Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak did Long, did a tribute to Little Richard, and Little Baby performed as well as The Baby. So there were some decent performances. There really wasn't, in my opinion, anything that stood out that made, that wowed me necessarily. Leave the Door Open was pretty fucking cool. I say that much. It was, I like the vocals. So that was probably a dope performance. I would say so myself. And I really did enjoy, what is this young lady's name? Mickey Guyton. She has a beautiful voice. I enjoyed her performance as well. Billie too. I love her song Everything I Wanted. So yeah. But again, I didn't catch the Grammys when it premiered on Sunday. It wasn't on my to-do list. But I did go back to see what performances were who performed that Sunday evening, and just to get a gist of the awards that were won. So Beyonce broke the record for most Grammy wins for a female artist. Taylor Swift became only the fourth artist and first woman to win Album of the Year for a third time. Her won Song of the Year for I Can't Breathe. Billie Eilish won Record of the Year for, like I said, Everything I Wanted. Megan Thee Stallion became the first woman rapper to win Best New Artist of the Century. Yeah. You also had Best R&B Album, Bigger Love by John Legend. Best Rock Song, Stay High, by Brittany Howard. Best Pop Solo Performance, Watermelon Sugar by Harry Styles. Meg also won Best Rap Song, Savage featuring Beyonce. And Beyonce won Best Music Video, Brown Skin Girl. Tiffany Haddish won for Best Comedy Album. And yeah, Kanye actually picked up a Grammy as well for Best Contemporary Christian music album. I was like, whoa. Jesus is King? Yes, yes. Yeah. And like I said earlier in the beginning, best rap album went to King's Disease, Nas. So before I close out, you guys, and catch up with you tomorrow, I did want to shout out my a good childhood friend of mine. Her name is Aniqua Wilkerson. And we go back as far as the second grade? Absolutely was. We attended elementary school together, 126. And Aniqua has always been fucking creative. Dope. Okay, she taught me, and I always tell her this every time we like link up, and it's not often. It's one of those things like you run into your friend or you engage on social media. But I remember telling her a little while back, like, you know, I still know how to draw theater chairs, like a stage, like literally a stage. She taught me how to do that, the curtains, the chairs, in the audience, all of that. And to this day, I know how to, you know, I still know how to do that shit. So the reason I'm shouting her out today is because Bronx News 12 did an article on her, which is amazing. My friend makes these awesome dolls. She's been doing it for over 8 years, and these dolls promote pride in children of color. So she's actually crocheting by hand these amazing dolls. And I truly encourage you to take a look at it. It's called, the name of the company is My Kinda Thing. And again, like I said, you can find this on Etsy if I'm not mistaken. But she does have a website as well. And these are the most amazing original dolls I've ever seen. I don't know anybody who would not want to play with these dolls. I mean, or just keep them, like, and hold on to them. I'm pretty certain they're going to be worth something huge in a couple of more years. But yeah, I wanted to shout you out, Aniqua, for your amazing company, and I'm so proud of you. The dolls come in about 12 different shades of brown, and they just are the cutest fucking dolls you've ever seen. Like, the hairstyles, they have personality, their outfits, and you know, they're not just girl dolls. She makes boy dolls. She can personalize them more. You know, the demand is insane, so if you do try to get these dolls, understand, like, the demand is insane, and I'm quite certain she'll explain that to you in terms of how you would go about ordering them. But totally check it out. Again, like I said, My Kind of Thing. I guarantee you're going to love these fucking dolls. Just take my word for it. You're going to love it, all right? So, with that said, I will catch you guys tomorrow when I finally, I know somebody's like, you said that today, Cole. You just don't know. Like, tomorrow when I give you the battle, you'll understand. It was so much. But, you know, it's done. And tomorrow I'll give it to you. So at least I gave you a segment, right? And just leave you hanging. But yeah, you guys. So I hope you enjoy the rest of your evening. You know I love you. And I will catch up with you tomorrow. Yeah. I was going to keep singing it, but now I'm going to leave it alone. Later, you guys.